Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Active Quest, episode 110. I'm one of your hosts, Joseph Yaden. Joining me today is the beautiful British boy, Chris Penwell. Hey, Chris. Hello.
Hi.
How are things?
How is everyone? I am doing well. I'm happy that we're getting some good games. And
yeah.
I'm excited to talk about Sea of Solitude this week.
Yeah, there's no shortage of video games. Josh is out this week. He's having car problems, I think, right, Chris? Something like
yeah.
that. So he's dealing with all that. Life is just...
Yeah, he's exhausted.
Yeah, life is exhausting for him right now. So he's taking care of all that. But we do have a special guest joining us from The Gamer is Christina Alexander. Hello, Christina.
Hi.
Hi, thank you for joining us.
Hey, everybody.
So this is your second appearance on the show. I forget which a thousand episodes ago it feels like that you joined us, and so
it's been about a year.
Yeah, so this is your second time. So how are things, Christina?
Everything is going swimmingly.
Swimmingly, I love that. I love just
I
love describing things as going swimmingly. We were complimenting your lamp. It's like a Japanese lamp. I guess it's Japanese. Is it Japanese?
A lantern.
A lantern. Yeah.
It is a Japanese lamp. I got it from San Francisco
nice.
in 2014.
Wow. I remember San Francisco very, very faintly because it's been forever since I've been there. But I do recall it's very nice. It's very hilly over there.
Maybe we can go to Comic-Con one day.
Yeah.
And I remember, like... my visit to San Francisco remarkably well because that was the first time and the last time I saw the Sega building.
Oh God, I'm
there.
Sure.
This
I'm
was
sure that was
before they moved to LA.
Nice.
And my trip to San Francisco was when I realized that the rolling hills of Lombard Street and the Golden Gate Bridge and Alcatraz and Yosemite, they all inspired Sonic Adventure 2.
Yeah.
Mind
Sonic.
So I forgot to introduce you as the number one Sonic the Hedgehog fan. Sonic the Hedgehog fan. I'm sure our podcast listeners know how I feel about Sonic, but like I told you before, I'm not going to say anything.
You're too slow, Joseph.
I'm not going to say anything bad about Sonic, especially since we have a guest and I know both of you love Sonic very dearly.
Sonic's rad.
I don't understand it, but that's okay. Nonetheless, Christina, thank you for joining us.
You're very welcome.
We're going to talk about some video games, oddly enough. So, yeah, there's a couple bigger stories here. I think the biggest thing we're going to touch on, though, is the fourth birthday of the Nintendo Switch, which is crazy to me. I can't believe it. The Switch is 4 years old. And so we'll talk about that. A couple new games were announced, or something. One new game was announced, it looks like. And then we'll talk about Elden Ring, because obviously Elden Ring is a thing, and people are losing their minds over it.
I don't get it, but I guess I do get it because it's from software.
Well, yeah, kind of a weird thing. Then we'll go through your listener questions. I've been playing my Xbox Series S. I've been playing a game called Sea of Thieves, and I am excited to talk about that. Chris, you've been playing Sea of Solitude, totally different water.
The director's cut.
Water
yes.
game.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Christina, you've been playing some things as well. Concrete Genie, which I believe was a PS Plus game recently.
Yes, it is a PS Plus game. Well, was.
Yeah, last month, I believe. So you'll have some to discuss with that. Aside from that, hope everybody is doing well. I wanted to just quickly mention I watched the last episode of the WandaVision, and I wasn't wild about it, but I think that's my fault, because I think the reason... I don't want to go into a whole discussion right now, but...
Yes, please.
No spoilers.
I did not see the last episode yet.
Is it just because of the MCU connection
yes.
that you don't like?
Yeah.
Because we talked about that on Let's Speak Geek. Go listen to it now.
Yeah.
Let's Speak Geek.
The whole reason I love that show, I loved the majority of it, is because it wasn't superheroes, really. And then it kind of turned into superheroes.
Yeah.
All right, I'm not going to say anything else. All right. Aside from that, thank you everybody for joining us today. Remember, you can always find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, pretty much anywhere where podcasts are available. You can get a hold of us on Twitter at ActiveQuestShow or via email.
ActiveQuestShow!
I don't know what that was, but yes, that's the name of the Twitter handle, or via email at activequestpodcast@gmail.com, and keep those iTunes ratings coming, and we'll read them on the show, as long as they're nice. Don't say, like, we smell or something like that. Actually, I might still read that on the, because that'd be kind of funny, but still don't say that. Yeah, and I think that's it.
We should read the most recent one we have.
Oh, do we?
Because I don't think we
read it. Oh, okay. Do you have that handy?
Yeah, I'm bringing it up
now. Okay, bringing it up now. Beautiful. You'll hear it.
Bring it up. Bring it on up.
Are you? Oh, I just accidentally started the podcast. You'll probably hear that.
Yeah, this came in at the 27th of January.
Okay.
And we missed it. It's from Novocaine 1435. 5 stars. Not terrible. 3 dweebs talking about their toys and video games for other dorks to listen to. O'Doyle rules.
That's like when you're trying to say something nice about somebody. You don't make me want to vomit sometimes.
Not terrible.
Beautiful. Oh, goodness. So that's great. Thank you. What Novocaine? Mm-hmm. Novocaine. Thank you, Novocaine. God.
Perfect review.
Perfect review. Perfect. So you will read your reviews on the show. Christina, Chris, let's talk about some games. Just a quick little note here. Guilty Gear Strive has been delayed until June. Oh my God, Chris.
Unfortunately.
I'm devastated about this one. Can you tell us about Guilty Gear Survive? Because I don't even really know what this is.
Yeah, Guilty Gear Strive is the next fighting game from Arc System Works. And it's kind of a big deal for the fighting game community because they haven't really had a big game for a long time.
Okay.
So this being delayed by 2 months is kind of a big deal for them. And then they're doing this delay just so they can fix the lobby system and make sure everything connects properly. Surprisingly, Guilty Gear Strive actually runs really well online, like when you're actually in a match. Really good connections, and that's the reason they actually switched the netcode recently.
Okay.
To rollback, which is a completely different process to what usually fighting games use in their online systems. Okay. So yeah, it's a step forward to fighting games. I'm looking forward to checking it out because it's pretty rad.
Pretty rad. Very, very Japanese, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like it's a 3D anime and it looks absolutely gorgeous.
Oh my goodness. Okay, well that sounds
needs more Sonic though.
Oh God. Christine, I don't know if you're a Guilty Gear fan, but sorry.
I have not played Guilty Gear at all, okay. So
well,
no comment on that.
All right, let's move on here. This is kind of a big deal. Epic Games has acquired Mediatonic. We won't
the creator of Fall Guys.
The creator of Fall Guys. We won't go too far in depth with this, but yeah, basically, they've been purchased and just like the Rocket League studio, Psyonix, and. The one thing that is that Mediatonic wanted to make very clear is that this won't impact the way the game plays or anything like that. There's actually a Q&A you guys can check out on Mediatonic's website about, you know, just sort of the intricacies of the acquisition. But obviously, I mean, I think that's probably going to be an improvement. It's gonna Fall Guys is gonna see an improvement, obviously, because they've got all that money coming in from Epic Games. So,
I think Fall Guys could be awesome. Honestly, it could get even bigger, and if Epic throws some money into it, you know, gets more staff, they can roll in more mini games and more costumes and such. You know, and I think this is gonna go free to play, just like Rocket
League. Yeah. So there's actually a question about that on the Q&A about
there is.
Whether or not it'll go free to play, and they said no comment on this at this time.
That's basically saying at a later time.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking like it could be really cool. Like imagine Sonic again, but we have like a Green Hill Zone kind of like level, or I don't know, Captain America, and you have or Thor. And you have like a stage set in Asgard. You know, there's a lot of cool things they could do with this.
Yeah. Christina, did you ever play Fall Guys?
I have played Fall Guys 3 times, actually. The last time I played with Grayson and some other guys when I was like still writing for Twinfinite. And I found it, like, really fun just to, like, I mean, it can be, like, getting, it could be frustrating, like, try to, like, run up to to the number one spot in, like, a, what looks like a right. fat suit, but really you're just, like, a jelly bean in any crazy costume that you can think of. And when the Sonic costume came out, I was like so giddy
that
I never got the chance to, like, you know, try that costume on. Oh,
you can still get it.
Yeah, you just have to earn enough coins or something.
Yeah,
or crowns. Sorry, yeah, crowns.
Actually,
which are tough.
So yeah, you mentioned the jelly bean guys. My favorite thing about them is their skeleton. It's
Have you
seen their skeleton? It's
it's horrifying.
It's absolutely horrifying. I love it so much. Yeah. So what do you think of this acquisition? I think it'll probably boost Fall Guys. Don't you think, Christina?
Yes, it'll definitely boost Fall Guys to make it to get it to the same level as Fortnite,
or at least. I mean, that's kind of a tall order, but maybe close.
Yeah, but
yeah, it's a mighty tall order.
Yeah.
But because Fortnite is like still mega popular with kids and teens, but Fall Guys, it's popular with like our age group, like younger millennials.
Yeah.
And it's about to go to Xbox and Switch.
Yeah, that's
as well.
A great point.
So there's going to be a bigger audience for that game, and it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, I haven't touched Fall Guys since last summer.
Oh wow!
Or last fall, and with it coming to the Switch, I could see it. I could see myself playing Fall Guys on the Switch more often than on the PS4 or even PS5.
What's the bet when it comes out this summer it's going to be free to play on Switch and Xbox, and then that they'll announce like, okay, this is our new kind of like direction.
Yeah, I think that's a great point.
I think that's probably it's going
to
happen.
Yeah, but Fall Guys was already free to play to begin with, so
it's always been paid. But it was free for PlayStation Plus members, but PC people had to buy the game.
I'm so sorry. How much does it cost?
I think
right
it's 20
now
bucks.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
not
yeah
bad.
But so like, yeah, if you tried to buy, if you wanted to play it now on PlayStation and you didn't get it through PS Plus, you'd have to pay 20 bucks for it. So but yeah, I think that's a good bet that maybe this summer it'll be free. Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. I mean, obviously games like Rocket League and Fortnite, they've been super successful under Epic, so I think Fall Guys will be no different.
I don't like all these acquisitions, though.
Some acquisitions are okay. Some are not.
Yeah, I know, but it's just getting a little too much. I'm like, really?
Hey.
Like, we're not talking about it this week, but the Bethesda purchase got confirmed for Microsoft.
I wonder if Epic bought Fall Guys, who's going to buy Among Us?
Yeah, that's probably like the next one.
I think it's Epic. Yeah.
Honestly, Chris, I'm with you, but like if Epic came up to you and said, hey, Chris, we want to buy ActiveQuest and we're going to own ActiveQuest and we'll give you a bajillion, fafillion, shishillion dollars, you'd be like, yeah, dude, do whatever you want. Bend me over. Do whatever you have to do. I don't care. give me the. So like it's easy to say, you know, hey, acquisitions are bad, but like think of if you were Mediatonic and Epic came up to you and said, here's all this money.
For sure
you'd be like, yeah, do whatever you want, of course, you know. So
and it seems like Epic's supportive from what we've been seeing so far in the messaging and how they've treated Rocket League, so I think this is a good move for them. I just hope, you know, it calms down a little bit with all these acquisitions, like every single indie studio getting bought up.
Yeah it's hard. So we'll see what happens with that. All right, that's pretty much it for the quick stuff. Christina, are you all ready to talk about some news?
Ready to go, Joseph.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, no. Chris, no. And you're going to whip out a chili dog, start eating it. Oh, no.
That's no good.
All right. Here we go. Let's talk.
I already had ribs. Throw up at 5 o'clock in the morning after scarfing down a chili dog.
That's probably a good idea. All right, let's talk about some news. All right, this first story here. Okay, yeah, here we go. Elden Ring trailer was leaked, and what was interesting about this is that one of the, I think this came from VGC. Yeah, VGC. And what was interesting is that VGC actually didn't have authorization to, like, publish the leaked trailer.
Whoa.
Yeah, and so some other, like, other, you know, Twitter users or whatever did it themselves. And so, like, that's on them. But obviously VGC wants to keep their integrity and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so, this is so funny because it's basically, like, one of, you know, like, before a Nintendo Direct, somebody will take like a blurry picture and it's obviously like bullshit, but it's like, you know, Bloodborne cart or something, like something stupid.
PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale.
Yeah. And it's like a shitty cell phone picture. Well, this is kind of that, but this actually looks real. So yeah, with this video, yeah, there's like a minute or 30 seconds or something. And, you know, it shows what we previously knew about the game was that it's sort of this like open world game. It's a little bit more stylized in its art direction, and there's like horseback riding and all this. And I think the main thing I wanted to talk about with this is just, yeah, the hype surrounding this game. Chris, you mentioned before we started recording that you kind of don't get it, and I'm honestly like with you to an extent on this. I think the biggest hang up with all this, or sort of the biggest I don't know, like, issue is just that we haven't heard anything about this game since it was revealed, and it's been just, like, nothing. And I think that's what's getting people so antsy about it.
I just think we should be cautious about hyping over a game we don't know about, but just because of the developer. Just I think you can imagine who I'm about to say, but CD Projekt Red with Cyberpunk, you know, like, people are so excited about that.
Yeah, it's like,
game,
you hype up a game too much, you get very disappointed later on when the final product comes out.
With Elden Ring, though, I think this is a game that, yeah, Chris, you pretty much nailed it. It's From Software, which is obviously the developer of Bloodborne and Dark Souls and Sekiro. Yeah, I think people are just so hyped for, like, a new FromSoft game, and this one seems like it's pretty different, particularly in its art style. I think we'll see something on this soon. I know Jeff Grubb over at GamesBeat, has been saying that, and he's a pretty reputable, person. Jason Schreier as well, I think, corroborated that. So I think maybe in March or April or something, we'll see more on Elden Ring.
I think it's during the leaked or the rumored Microsoft event that's happening this month as well.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. I don't know if they're gonna have game announcements.
Yeah, because Jeff Grubb was mentioning stuff about that too.
Mm-hmm. I thought what's that guy's name? There's a guy at Microsoft. His name is slipping my mind. I thought
Phil Spencer.
No, another guy. Anyway, so I thought somebody confirmed that wasn't gonna happen.
Booty.
Nah, not that guy. I don't know. Anyway, Christina, do you understand the hype for Elden Ring at all, or are you baffled?
I am, like, baffled to say the least.
Okay.
Like, not, I mean, I don't, I'm not into, like Elden Ring.
You're not into it? No.
No, I'm not. I wish I was. Yeah. But,
well, so you didn't enjoy the previous From Software games like Dark Souls or Bloodborne or anything?
I did see a friend of mine play Bloodborne just a little bit, but Dark Souls, I did not get into it.
Okay. Bloodborne it's very wet.
It's just like all these games that I know like so little of. It's like, goodness gracious, what kind of gaming journalist am I? What kind of gamer am I?
Oh my god, no, you don't have to do that. I mean, your brain is like a hard drive, and you have limited amount of space you can fill on it. You can't, it's not feasible to know everything.
You can't play
every
game.
Yeah, you can't, and you have to embrace that. Nuts. Like, I think it's...
I'm not playing Red Dead. There's
that's
no
wrong.
Way.
Chris is wrong. That's a no. bad example.
Red Dead 2 sucks.
That's a bad example. Don't listen to Chris. Chris, do you remember when you were streaming Bloodborne and I came and rescued you. Yep. And because you...
I was like, it was during the Extra Life event, right? So I was streaming for 24 hours, and like through the middle of it or something, you came in to help me on Bloodborne.
Well,
and I was just sitting down, just watching you take out the boss. I was like doing nothing. I had my hands.
Well,
just,
the reason I came to rescue you is because I was watching you play, and you were fighting the boss, and you basically had like no health. Like
I had no health. Basically, like, towards the boss.
Yeah, you were like one shot basically. If you were to get hit one more time, you would have died. So I was watching you, and I'm like, dude, just put the password on, and let me jump in and help you. Because the trek back to the boss, you know, is kind of far. So anyway, I'm excited for Elden Ring just because I love FromSoft. I think it looks cool. Christina, I am with you on this. I do think that maybe we should temper our expectations, obviously, so we don't have another Cyberpunk problem. And yeah, I'm sure COVID had a lot to do with, you know, not hearing much from this game. And also, I think it's...
And George R. R. Martin. Come on, let's be real.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I always...
He's so slow.
I always forget about that. Yeah, so this George R. R. Martin, the writer of Game of Thrones, or the author of Game of Thrones, is involved with this somehow.
Yeah, the author of Game of Thrones. Yeah. Let's go with that.
Song of Ice and Fire.
Yeah.
The book series.
Song of Ice and Fire.
So you guys...
And Winds of Winter, whenever that comes out.
So you guys can look at the footage. We'll have a link to it in the show notes here. When do you think this game is gonna come out? I don't think it's this year.
No.
Christina?
Next year.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, how long did it take for Sekiro to come out after it was officially announced?
So Sekiro was announced at the Game Awards, actually. And I
mean the full reveal. Like, it wasn't just a teaser. It was like the full...
It was like 6 or 8 months. Because I think it was... The teaser was at the Game Awards, I think 2017. And then the full reveal for it was the following E3 in 2018. And then the game came out in 2019.
The reason why I asked that is because maybe From Software is a different kind of company that likes to announce its stuff when it's almost ready.
Yeah, that's totally fair.
So I'm thinking maybe it's this year, just because of that.
That could be. That could be.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, let's move on here. Next thing we want to talk about is this Aliens Fireteam game. This is a cooperative third-person shooter. And this is set in the Aliens universe. It looks like it's gonna have some sort of like class-based system with a bunch of different weapons and several different campaigns. This is being developed by Cold Iron Studios, a smaller developer. Christina, I don't know if you saw the footage or any of the coverage for this. Do you have any thoughts on Aliens Fireteam?
Not exactly, because, and like anytime I see like anything aliens, I just think aliens versus Predator.
Oh yeah,
Alien versus Predator, like the movie. Yeah. Because, and I see that's what this is based on.
Kinda, yeah.
Like the Alien film franchise. Right.
Well, the problem though is that it's kind of hit or miss with the Aliens, the Alien franchise. Some games are just absolute hot garbage. Like, Chris, what was that game?
Aliens Colonial Marines.
And that game is actually kind of famous for how bad it is. It's like a joke, you know?
Well, the reason why it was a joke is because Randy Pitchford and Gearbox, they showed a trailer that wasn't real.
Right.
And then they brought out that piece of garbage.
And it was, I think the biggest problem is just it was buggy and unfinished and all this stuff. But anyway, so that game is like an absolute pile of, like, just, it's not good, basically. But then in 2014, I believe, Alien Isolation came out, and that game's really good. So we kind of have like opposite ends of the of this sort of field of quality of games, right? And so with this Aliens Fireteam game, I feel like it could go either way. Chris, are you interested in this at all, this cooperative Aliens game?
I've never watched an Aliens film in my life, but I am always excited for a new multiplayer shooter, especially if it's co-op.
Mm.
And I'm liking this new generation of like new co-op games, like Back for Blood and now this,
right?
You know, I like this direction, and I hope it continues forward.
What about Prometheus? That's never a prequel.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I did. And I kind of fell asleep through some parts. That's like the last film I saw, like in 3D, like with the 3D glasses, which was like barely 3D all.
So yeah. You fell asleep.
Like my brother. He took me and one of his girlfriends at the time. It was like the summer before my senior year of high school. When we came out of the theater, like my brother, like when we got to the car, my brother stepped out of the car. He got like in front of it and he like ripped. Like tore his 3D glasses in half.
It's that bad.
Threw it on the ground, and I was like sitting in the back seat of the car, like kind of like snickering through all of it. And I don't blame you, Penn, for not seeing Prometheus. It kind of sucked.
Okay. So let's get back to Fireteam though. So this is going to be coming out on PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Series X. Sometime in 2021. There's actually like a pretty lengthy write-up on this over at GameSpot. We also have a link to a Polygon article as well with coverage of it. I think it looks okay. I do think people should again temper their expectations with this kind of thing, yeah. Just because the Alien games are pretty hit or miss. yeah, and
I think Disney is more, I don't know, accurate with game development, I guess, like putting their IP out there. So I could see this working out.
Mm-hmm.
Also, this does have some prestige developers on the team. So like they've made City of Heroes, Star Trek Online, and Neverwinter. Just reading an article from VentureBeat here. And yeah, I don't know. It looks cool. Hope it's cool.
All right, let's move on to just our last story here, and then we'll jump into our listener questions. I just wanted to sort of talk about the Nintendo Switch and its fourth birthday, and maybe we could go around and just like, you know, talk about maybe our favorite memories or something like that, that tied to the Switch. We have an article from Game Rant here, and it's actually just a bunch of like people's tweets about the Nintendo Switch's fourth birthday. Reggie had a tweet in there celebrating the launch of Breath of the Wild, which obviously came out alongside the Switch in March of 2017. So yeah, maybe we can go around. Chris, do you have anything you wanted to maybe share about your favorite memory with the Nintendo Switch, or just something that jumps out at you?
Honestly, my favorite memory from the Nintendo Switch, we've talked about this multiple times, but just like the idea, like just the thought and the care of you getting me that Nintendo Switch Lite with Josh, like,
oh,
I was crying like, that day because it was such a nice gesture.
Hey, you know, I think that was the episode Christina was on.
It could have been, yeah.
I think it was. Christina, do you That's remember weird. That? Do you remember yeah. that? No.
What? You talking about getting the Switch Lite from Josh yeah. and Joseph?
Yeah, yeah. When we, because I think we gave it to him on that episode or something.
Yeah, insane.
I don't recall, but that was a very nice gesture.
God. Well, as I've said multiple times, Chris, you were just complaining. Wish I had a Switch. Can't play Smash Bros. Wish I had one. And I'm like, holy moly!
Shut up.
So,
but yeah, Smash Brothers is my favorite game on the Switch right now. It's just such a fun fighting game. It's a testament to video game history, yeah. And it's just a celebration of the things I love, you know.
And your beloved yeah. Sonic is in there that you can play as well.
Yes, yeah, Sonic's in there. Mega Man's in
is
there.
Is Sonic any good in Smash Bros?
No,
he's terrible. Chris.
Oh, come on.
He's bad.
Sonic's not Everyone that bad complains of a about fighter. Him as well,
actually. Too.
Okay. Cool. Chris, and so your favorite game is Smash Bros. Any other games? Anything else?
Some like I still need to play Super Mario Odyssey. That's something.
Oh, dude, you haven't played
to.
That?
Super Mario? No, I haven't.
Oh, it's so good. That's my favorite 3D Mario.
I haven't got Mario Kart, so I am missing some major kind of games on the Switch, but I would say another highlight would be The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Never heard of it.
And Splatoon 2.
Oh, Splatoon 2. Yeah, Splatoon 2.
Amazing. Yeah,
Lily likes Splatoon a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Christina, you're a Switch fan, correct? You have one.
Yes, I have a Switch. I've owned a Switch since November 2019.
Oh, okay, so you're a little bit
I'm a little late to the party, but I promise you I played around with a Switch at my boyfriend's house before I owned before I bought one myself. And the thing is, like, I didn't get it from, like, I didn't buy it from, like, a regular retailer, no. My sister-in-law's brother, like, he was selling the Switch, and she texted me saying, like, asking me, like, telling me, oh, my brother's selling the Switch, do you want to buy it off of him? And I'm like, yes.
So, did you get a good deal?
So what? It was still like $300 because it came with Mario Party 10, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, Smash Brothers Ultimate, and some other game. And it came in the Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild case. Ooh. Like,
I want that.
It was a brown case.
Oh yeah, right. Beautiful, cool. So, what's your favorite game on the Switch, Christina?
My favorite game on the Switch. Goodness.
Or one of them.
I have like a shitload of favorite games on the Switch.
Well, I don't want to put you on the spot.
One or two.
Yeah, one or two.
But my most favorite one that I finished is... One of the games I finished is Shantae and the Seven Sirens.
Oh, yeah. Oh. That's a cool one. That's a platformer, right? Like an action platformer?
Yes, that's a platformer. And I'm surprised it wasn't like hyped up as much.
Mm.
I mean, it was... a little hyped up, but like the truth is it's an indie game, right?
Kinda.
From WayForward.
Is it an indie game? It's kinda.
Yeah it's from WayForward.
Shantae is an indie series.
An indie series.
It's a good game, actually. Mm-hmm. I would recommend it. I did review it, so we did review it on the Active Quest.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we did.
Which Shantae game did you review? Yeah. The Seven Sirens?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I liked it.
It took a lot. It was a lot more challenging than Half Genie Hero, simply because there's like seven levels of the subterranean world to get through, just to reach all the five, six half genies, including Roddy Tops, who
Time that Roddy Tops. Ugh, God. cool. Yeah, Shantae is kind of a badass. I like her hair, and I'm definitely intimidated by Shantae. I wouldn't.
I like her shape shifting as well. There's a lot of cool things.
Yes,
that they do,
and I love the fact that like she could. I just love her. The fact that she belly dances.
Oh
yeah,
like, I belly dance.
Before transforming into anything.
I belly dance. I don't know if you get. No, I don't.
I took a couple of belly dancing classes when I was 13.
Oh wow.
and playing Shantae made me want to like jump back into. Belly dancing just for the sake of I want to belly dance to Tarkan songs, the Turkish singer.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
And
some Shakira songs because Shakira belly dances too.
Oh yeah. Shakira is also a badass. So cool. Yeah. Those are some good games. For me, my favorite memory with the Switch is actually like that sort of that first couple month period. At the time, I was working at conventions pretty close to full time, and so I was on the road a lot. And I remember just playing Breath of the Wild while in our van, like traveling to and from conventions and stuff. And there was this moment of like, you know, I don't know, completing a shrine or something like that. And I'm just like, this is like amazing. Like one of those little moments that, you know, that happened in Breath of the Wild, one of the many little moments. And I just remember like being in the car while doing that. And I'm like, this is like crazy. This is one of my favorite video game experiences. And it's on this new system, and it's portable, and I'm in a car. And yeah, I just remember, like, every day after, like, working a show, I would always look forward to coming back to the hotel and, you know, playing a little bit more Zelda. And I just thought that was, like, a little reward at the end of the day, because working at comic conventions is very hard, and that's very demanding. And yeah, just doing that was so cool. Kind of a similar memory, when I went to E3, I think 2018, I believe, I slept in a van outside. It was an Airbnb, but like it was in a van and there was like a bed in the van. It was very bizarre. It was like $20 a day. It's all I could afford.
That sounds good.
And it was in a sketchy neighborhood. I was terrified for my life. Anyway, oh, I remember playing Fallout Shelter, I think is what that came out that E3 that same day. And I just remember, like, again, like, I'm playing, like, this, like, home console experience on a handheld in a van in LA, and I might get murdered. That's, I just remember. I just remember that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was, I really wanted to go to E3 that year, so anyway. Yeah, so the Switch is a great little system. Looking forward to the possibility of a Switch Pro, which seems like is probably going to happen. We're not going to dedicate much time to that on the show, but that's probably happening. There's a Bloomberg article you guys can...
I'm sad about that, because I just bought a new Switch, so it's the console version, and...
Yeah. Well, you should have known that. Nintendo always puts
out
extra
versions. I'm
very
curious to see how the Switch Pro will actually look, because some of the images I've seen of it, even though Nintendo hasn't like released official images of it, and they probably won't for another several months. Like the Joy-Cons, they just have like a little kind of, they have the little grips at the bottom to look, to make it look as though they look like controllers.
Oh, right.
Kind of.
I hope the I hope the old Joy-Cons still work on the new Pro, because
that's the thing. If the screen's bigger, it won't work.
They have to make it work. They have to.
I guess like there would be like a lip where like it could connect.
Right. Yeah, because I mean, I have probably like 6 different Joy-Con. I just ordered the Skyward Sword Joy-Con that are going to be coming in. Like, I need this Switch Pro to take my Joy-Con. I have.
Hey, they've made us buy new controllers before, like the Wii Motion Plus.
Chris, yeah. Shut up.
Sorry.
Speaking of Skyward Sword, how do you feel about Skyward Sword being ported over to the Switch?
Oh, it's great.
10
yes.
years
yeah,
later.
I think it's great. I think people are way too harsh on that game. It's not my favorite Zelda game, but I think it's a very good game. I think it's a good Zelda game, and I think people unfairly criticize it because yes, it had motion, but the motion worked fine. So, I don't know what the problem is.
It just came out at the wrong time. They needed to switch up the Zelda series because it was getting stale for a lot of people at that period. So now new open world Zelda game, going back to a traditional style would probably be more inviting for people.
Yeah.
And so I think Skyward Sword would be liked among more people, more fans than it did before.
I do too. Christina, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, you know, on top of, like, the scorn people have for Skyward Sword being ported over to the Switch, it's The Legend of Zelda's 35th anniversary, and Nintendo has not said a single peep of it
I think, but, honestly,
like, not even acknowledge the fact that it's the series' 35th anniversary.
I think people just need to be patient.
Yeah.
I don't think they're ready to show this stuff yet.
Yeah. Again, VGC, I think their editor-in-chief, Andy Robinson, confirmed, yes, Wind Waker and Twilight Princess are coming out this year. So
yeah.
I don't think you have anything to worry. By the way, hold on. I just want to make everybody mad. Skyward Sword's better than Twilight Princess. Come at me.
I hate you.
Chris, let's fight. Let's do it. Let's throw down.
Midna's so cool.
No, that game. I don't.
It's a bad Zelda game.
It's a bad Zelda game.
It's not a bad Zelda
game.
It's
a bad Zelda game. The horse controls are terrible.
It's got amazing moods. The horse controls are fine.
No, they're terrible. They're awful. I would rather... there's a lot of things I'd rather do. Yeah, no thank you. So, happy birthday, Nintendo Switch. Chris, don't look at me like that. And I'm very, very excited to see what happens with the Switch Pro, whatever that ends up being. And for the love of God, Nintendo, please make it so that my Joy-Con will work.
Make it so that the Joy-Cons don't drift
at all.
Not that I'm having any drift issues.
Yeah, Tokyo Drift, Electric Boogaloo, yeah.
And bring Wario World 4
to the Switch. God.
So Chris, you can collect your $1,000.
Chris, how much would I pay for Wario Land 4?
$1,000.
Okay. All right, let's take a little break. And when we come back, we'll answer your listener questions and then we'll talk about what we've been playing. So we will be right back. All right, everybody, we are back. This is the part of the show where we answer your listener questions. Remember, you can always reach us on Twitter at ActiveQuestShow, via email at activequestpodcast@gmail.com, or every Wednesday we post our Twitter thread asking for questions and comments from our audience, if I remember to do it, which normally I do, but sometimes I forget. And then Chris yells at me, and then he hits me. No, I don't know.
I don't hit you.
So we've got some questions to get through here. We've got one from Jake Free. Jake asks, what was your first writing assignment? How did you prepare for it? Was the process what you thought it would be? Interesting. This is a good question. I assume he means like journalism wise or like in games media. So my first thing I did actually, it's funny because it wasn't really an assignment, but it kind of was. There was this Facebook group that my friends and I had, and it was like devoted to video games, mostly like trophy stuff, like on PlayStation. But anyway, I remember watching the Nintendo Switch presentation in January of 2017. I don't know if you guys remember that, where they like, you know, showed off the Switch and the price and everything. And it was like this like super hyped event. And I just basically like wrote all my thoughts about it. And it wasn't necessarily like an assignment exactly, but it was something that we were all sort of like sharing with one another. If you're talking about like an actual assignment for a website, there was basically like this sort of like, well, back when I worked at the conventions, my business partner and I had our own company. Like we owned a business and we had a website, and on the website we also did like games coverage too. And so probably like some review for that, like Breath of the Wild, maybe something like that, like in 2017. What else? How did you prepare for it? Was the process what you thought it would be? Well, in terms of preparation, yeah, just like getting screenshots and, you know, making sure that I've played enough of the game to discuss it intelligently was the process what I thought it was like, or what I thought it would be. We had a very strict editing process at this for what we would publish, which is so funny because it's way stricter than any editing process for all of these professional websites. Like, it would take us like a week to put out one article, and because we would go through this rigorous editing process of, oh, I think you should word it like this. And we would have like in-person meetings and at the time I'm like, well, this is what we have to do to make sure that it reads properly, and like debating over sentences within the article. It was like really crazy. So yeah, now we don't do that at all. Obviously you put it up for edits and they edit it and then it's published like within the day. Anyway, that was sort of my first assignment. Christina, do you remember your first assignment you did in games media?
Oh dear. I've written for like 4 games media sites at this point. But the first thing I wrote about, like when I joined Megavisions, I mean, it wasn't called Megavisions at the time. It was Sega Nerds. And the first thing I ever wrote was is Archie Comics, the Archie Sonic comics getting canceled, because at that time there weren't any issues of the Archie Sonic comics being published past 290, and it was like really pissing me off that I haven't seen any more issues at Barnes & Noble, series. Which, yeah, it was a great series, but also very, very trippy on account of Ken Penders. Know that guy? Like, he claimed that he, like, owned all the rights to, like, the echidnas that he drew for the series.
How bizarre.
And he filed, like, so many lawsuits, and now that's why there are so many of these mandates in place for the IDW Sonic comics and games, for that matter. Like, if they're, like, fan characters created, don't put them in the in the games or comics, what have you.
So, do you remember?
So, anyways, yeah. I wrote a news article about that. It's like, I don't think it was like so much a news article as much as it was like a feature,
right?
Because I did like some research into it. Like, it wasn't like confirming whether or not the comics were gonna get canceled, because, you know, Archie still held the Sonic license for it, and the next thing you know, 2 months later at San Diego Comic-Con, Sega announced, well, Archie lost the license to the Sonic comics, and they handed it over to IDW.
Right.
Of course, I didn't write that story. That was someone else.
So, in terms of like what you thought the process would be like, and then what it ended up being, did it pretty much meet your expectations, or was it totally different? What did you think about the process?
It was completely different from what you experienced, because I wrote on the site as a volunteer. So I had like plenty of free rein in terms of whether I published the article myself or leave it to the editors to publish it.
Oh, interesting.
I think at that time I just like wrote up a draft, saved it, and left it up to the editor.
Right. That's kind of how it is now. Yeah. Chris, what about you? What was your first assignment like?
I'm gonna age myself a bit here.
Okay.
My first review article period, I guess, like as far as I can remember, was a review of The Walking Dead, Telltale's Walking Dead.
God, that was a thousand years ago.
Yeah. When that originally came out, yeah.
That was 500,000 years ago.
I think it was about 9 years ago now.
Yeah, what was that, 2012, I think, is when that game came out? Yeah.
So yeah, with this website, PlayStation Euphoria, I took the initiative and I started writing emails to all sorts of different companies. I took the initiative and I contacted Telltale Games at the time. I requested a code, and then we eventually had a code and to review and a code to give away.
Oh, cool.
Just because of how we communicated. It was the early days,
right?
You know, when I didn't get a physical copy for The Walking Dead at that point, but I did get review copies from Square Enix and all sorts of different places.
Physical copies. Asking.
Yeah. Like I like the major thing I think for me as a Kingdom Hearts fan, I played the 1.5 remix like 2 weeks in advance.
Oh, nice! That's awesome.
So I was able to review that properly. But I'm really grateful for those days because one, I made some of the greatest friends I have on the in the world just because of that website, and also it gave me the tools of like, okay, what am I doing wrong, what am I doing right. I remember when I did this interview with James Stevenson at Insomniac, and it was just like a group of three or four of us just like asking briefly about Fuse, that really bad game.
Oh yeah.
And then we just tried to talk about Ratchet and Clank for the majority of the interview.
Oh man.
And it was embarrassing, you know, but it was a good learning experience at the same time, you know, that and that's invaluable.
Yeah, very interesting. I like this question a lot. I think there's a lot we could say. Okay, let's move on here. Friend of the show, PlayStation, says Mediatonic is known for their work on Fall Guys. So my question is, what would an active quest Fall Guy look like? Holy shit. So is there one for each of us, or is it just one Fall Guy? I think that's an important.
I think it would be like a big shirt, like the active quest shirt. Then like it has this catchphrase about Xbox Game Pass is the best deal in gaming. And then a LaCroix in his hand.
I'm surprised you guys have not thought of a mascot for active quest.
Yeah, we
because if you did, if you created like a mascot for the show based on an animal or
a cat,
whatever,
it has to be a hedgehog.
No, my god,
it has to be a hedgehog.
Oh my god, no.
Yes,
no.
Yes,
no.
Yes, Jason,
I refuse.
You're gonna make it a hedgehog.
I refuse. I don't know, maybe we can commission something from somebody. Awesome. Chris, I like your idea.
Yeah, it has to be like based on it. Any one of your favorite animals, like Penn, what's your favorite animal?
Monkey.
And don't say hedgehog because you said it already.
He said monkey.
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 Yeah.
Monkey.
That'd be kind of cool. Yeah.
And Joseph, what would your favorite animal
be? Surprisingly, I know this is going to be shocking to everybody, but cats.
Cats. We should.
I'm not surprised. I love cats.
I just thought of an idea. So Raja and Moses should be the mascots.
Oh my god, I would totally be down for that. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Did we just come up with something? Raja and Moses.
I think we just came up with something.
Oh my god. Christina.
Thank you, Stacey.
Yeah, and Stacey. Okay, I think. But anyway, for the Fall Guys, I like your idea, Chris, wearing the shirt with the LaCroix and the catchphrase. I do think there either needs to be like a cat, some sort of cat involved, like a cat on the shoulder,
cat on the head,
cat on the head, or maybe like it can have dreads like me, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, final question. Oh my god, Chris. Oh my god, Chris, look at
my god, he's back
because we have a question.
Play the Sephiroth me if it missing right now. Wait, we don't have the rights for that. Shit,
we'll have to do like a weird. Okay. We have a question, Chris, from number one Turner and Hooch fan.
Hooch!
Back from the dead. Turner and Hooch fan, number one Turner and Hooch fan. It says, "Hey fellers," in all caps, and guest. And guest is in lowercase. I have a question. Are your PS4 disc drives able to play a slice of salami? Are they able to play a slice of salami? I read somewhere it could, but I tried to put it in there and it got stuck and my PlayStation won't recognize it. Do you think it would work if I updated my firmware?
No!
Yeah, dude. I think it's just a firmware.
No!
I think it's just a firmware problem.
Your problem is you got the wrong system. You need the George Foreman grill, the PS3.
Yeah, oh my god, that's a great answer. Yeah, you need the George Foreman grill for that. And also, you have to make sure the salami isn't expired. It's a very, very common mistake. People try to put expired salami in their PlayStation.
But you know, you could get an Xbox One, Xbox Series S or X for that fridge.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Also, is there such thing as digital salami? That could be a thing.
Digital salami, yeah.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Number one turn on Who Train. We were so worried about you. We hope everything's okay on your end. No, I think they're busy with school. I think they're in school right now for they're at Turner and Hooch School, actually.
Where do you think number one Kingdom Hearts fan is?
Him and 50
in a ditch.
Yeah, him and number one 50 Cent fan are in a ditch. Christina, you're the number one Sonic the Hedgehog fan. You better watch yourself, because Turner and Hooch fan, I don't know, he's got kind of a mean streak. I don't know, we'll see. Yeah. We'll protect you, don't worry.
All right, thanks.
We got you. All right, thank you, number one Turner Hooch fan, and thank you everybody who submitted a question. All right, let's finish up the show with what we've been playing. Now, Chris, what do you think of this? Normally, we each just say all of our games. What do you think about doing a round robin style where we kind of like one of us says a thing and then the next person says a thing? Is that cool with you? It's not normally.
Let's give it a try.
That's not normally how we do it, but. Yeah.
All right.
I'll go first here. I just wanted to touch on this. So y'all know my problems with Warzone, blah, blah, blah. I've said a million things about that, but what I wanted to touch on this, because it's kind of a different thing. Warzone has this side mode called Resurgence. It's either quads or trios. And basically it takes place on the Rebirth Island. And that came out alongside the integration of Black Ops Cold War last year. Anyway, it's a separate map. It's a smaller map. It's only 40 players. Anyway, there's something funny about this matchmaking, because it's like, it's so much easier. Yesterday I played for a few hours and I won 6 games. And Chris, or any of you who play Warzone, if you played the regular Battle Royale mode, you know, getting a win is like pretty hard. And so I won 6 games in one sitting. So there's something weird about the matchmaking with this. I don't know if it's just easier or if players are worse.
It could just be me and 38 other people.
Yeah, that.
I've 38 other clones of me.
Oh God, Chris! No, that's not. I don't know what it is, but anyway, Chris, I was gonna say, if you want to play sometime, we should try the Resurgence mode, because I.
What are you trying to say, Joseph?
That it's more fun. I get in.
That it's more fun, yeah. Because it's baby mode apparently.
I'm telling you that I had more fun with it. The regular Battle Royale mode is like infuriating to me, and I like it's.
That's a real shame, because that was your game of the year last year, and that really sucks.
Well, it's still like, it's still up there, but I'm just saying, if you're just wanting to have fun and you don't want to try too hard, the Resurgence mode is where it's at. The map is a lot smaller, it's a lot more fast-paced, and man, I was shredding last night. I was like, Chris, I'm gonna toot my own horn. I'm tooting my horn right now. I was like, I was playing fantastically, so I just wanted to throw that out there.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, we can move on. Christina, you've been playing a little cute game called Pokemon Cafe Mix. Why don't you tell us about this?
Okay, so Pokemon Cafe Mix, like, you get, like, what you do is, like, there's, like, a cafe for Pokemon to come in and work in, and when you serve a Pokemon, you just, like, oh my goodness, this is a little, I mean, I kind of, like, know what it's...
Well, you serve them coffee and stuff, right?
Not just Starbucks coffee, basically like frappes and pancakes like shaped into yampers.
What's a yamper, Chris? And Christina, I don't know. What's yamper?
Is it a dog?
No, that.
Yes, it's a dog.
Yeah.
Wait.
Okay.
You
I think
serve
I've seen
them dog.
No.
They're shaped
not
like
dog.
The dog.
Oh, they're shaped like a dog.
Yeah.
No, there's just like foods themed that are designed after the Pokemon. Like the pancake, the Yamper pancake, it's just a regular pancake with just Yamper's heart shaped butt drawn in, and the Thunderbolt tail sticking out.
Oh, right? I gotcha.
And then there's a Pokemon. Like a Baneri. a Baniri milkshake.
And this is made from the blood of the Baniri.
No.
Okay. I don't get it. I'm sorry.
Just... So,
how does the gameplay? Is it? It's like that match three kind of thing, right? But you're like, it's more like Zim Zim.
It's like the mat. It's like Pokemon Shuffle, but what you do is just you match.
Oh,
like,
I love that.
Match up all the Pokemon, and you just like swirl it around just to break like the ingredients needed for that. Needed for the recipe okay. that you're trying to cook up for the Pokemon. And you get, I mean, depending on the level, depending on the order, you get between 10 and 15 tries.
Okay.
15 tries to like complete the order, like 15 matches to make. And I'm like, close to order 180.
Holy shit.
And this is where it gets really, really hard because I do not believe in buying power-ups with real money just to get ahead. I do not want to put a dent on my credit card. Like
that. Yeah, fair enough. So this is a free-to-play game.
It is. It's free-to-play. But with microtransactions.
Man, you said it was like Pokemon Shuffle. I'm totally sold. I loved Pokemon Shuffle so much. I played that when I was in college. God, I hate saying that. When I was in college, it makes me sound old. Anyway, that game was awesome. So,
yeah.
I think this is a little cuter though. It's got like you got your coffee stuff, and they're in the little cafe. Pretty cute.
Yeah, and you get the Pokemon you're serving to like your stuff. Like more often, like the more stars like they get, they give you like the more they level up, the more they're likely to join the staff.
Oh, they can join the staff.
And the more power yeah. that.
Oh wow, I'm sold.
And the more characters you use to your advantage, like the powers that each Pokemon is different, so. Whatever level you're stuck on, you don't want to use like the same Pokemon like. You don't want to use up all five of your lives with the same Pokemon.
Right. Huh.
Right? So you have to try to figure out which Pokemon would be best
for that order
to beat that level if you don't want to, like, buy any power-ups.
Man, I love the idea of having a Pokemon on staff. Chris, we should hire a Pokemon to be on our staff. What do you think? I'm thinking...
They'll probably just say one thing. Char! Char!
Well, maybe they can edit video or audio or something for us.
Maybe.
Cool. That sounds like a cute little game. It is free now. And I didn't know it was like Pokemon Shuffle. So I'm going to go down. I'm downloading that tonight. And I'm going to play the shit out of that. And I'll report back next week. Chris.
Yes.
Chris, tell us about what you've been playing.
Yeah, something you really should be playing is Sea of Solitude, the director's cut. We received a review code of... Well, I received a review code of it, and then actually we did receive a review code of it as well that Josh will play next week.
Oh, cool.
And that was from Quantic Dream, so thank you, Quantic Dream, for that. I didn't play the original release, and I'm kind of glad I didn't. Because apparently the director's cut had new voice acting, a new script, and a bunch of extra features as well. And this is exclusive for the Switch.
Oh, interesting.
So it's kind of like an exploration kind of game. It's more like a story experience. You know, it's like almost like a walking simulator, but it has platforming segments. So there's a bit, and there's puzzles as well. So there's a bit more going on in terms of gameplay, if that's what you're looking for. But you play as this girl named Kay, who's dealing with some sort of grief or some sort of depression, and she's dealing with some she's dealing with her insecurities. She feels like she makes things worse for everyone around her.
Oh, jeez.
And it sounds depressing at first, but I think this is a really beautiful game. Like, it depicts depression and the struggle with that affliction incredibly well as someone who has it. You know, I think it's very effective of what it feels like. Like you're always self-doubting yourself. There's always you know, things niggling away at your mind, and I think through how it plays, like how the gameplay offers that and shows that, it's a triumph. Honestly, and like the voice acting is amazing. They really give the really great script like justice. And yeah, I was really touched by this one. I was just emotionally involved. I was teary eyed at a lot of times of this game, and I do want to say the visuals as well are gorgeous, and it's kind of impressive for a Switch game because there's like these big set pieces, big set piece moments with like a giant bird and giant monsters all around K. And there's also boat segments where you move from place to place.
Oh yeah, I remember seeing the boats. And
there's like you can find bottles around the area, around the level. You can find seagulls that you can shoo off, and then you can activate the photo mode to take a really nice picture of the location.
Oh, that's cool.
So yeah, I really love this game, and you can check out my review for it for at the Gamer if you want to know more.
Oh hell yeah! And did you finish this one, right?
Yes, I did, from start to finish.
How long did it take?
It took me about 4 hours, I would say.
Oh, only 4 hours? Oh, beautiful.
Yeah,
four hours.
Oh, that's amazing. I love when games are 4 hours, because I'm in the middle of some lengthy games right now, and that's
this great. It would be the perfect palate cleanser.
Yeah, cool.
For anyone who's been playing a lot of open world games, and it tells a really engaging story that I think deserves more recognition than it does.
Well, go check out Chris's review for that over at The Gamer.
My first review for The Gamer.
Hell yeah. Here, I'm awesome. Clapping. I'm clapping for that. That's a clap-worthy
moment. Is that like your first review ever?
Not ever, but for a major publication, yes.
Cool.
Oh.
Congrats.
I need to learn to like write reviews.
It's hard. Reviewing games is hard.
It's tough.
Cool. Let me jump over to the next thing I've been playing. Sea of Thieves. I wanted to talk about that because this game is so up my alley and it's so cool. And now that I have a Series X, I can play all these Xbox One games I missed out on. This game is fantastic. It is, in a way, kind of like what you were describing as like a palate cleanser. It is open world and there is, you know, stuff that you commonly see in games, you know, like games of service type of stuff. But I think it's done in such a unique way that it feels different enough to still like be refreshing. What I really love about this game is just how it makes you feel like a pirate. Like, like there are moments when you have to sail, for example, and it's not like you have like a radar, like you're a pirate, right? So you don't have like a GPS system. So the way it works is there's this map on the bottom deck of your boat, and that shows you where the boat is in relation That's to cool. the islands, and it moves in real time. But the thing is the wheel is on top, so you have to like move back and forth. And so the idea is that you have a crewmate with you. You have a crewmate on the bottom floor who sort of like tells you, hey, you need to steer left or right or whatever. And then there's also like the sail mechanic where if you raise and lower the sail, that impacts your speed. The sailing is like super intricate. Anyway, so, you know, there are all these different like quests you can go on and all these factions that all have different things. And it's just, there's a lot to it and it's a little overwhelming. But the nice thing is that if you totally just want to like, you know, explore and sail around, you can do that and you're not penalized for that. What's really cool, though, is it's very heavily like integrated into the online infrastructure. There's like this, you know, heavy focus on online. There's a battle pass. It's, you know, it's a games of service. And I didn't realize this, but the first time I played, I had like my game open so anybody could join. And when you play, like you'll see other pirates like walking around on an island at a base or whatever, or sailing around. And anyway, I was on my boat and just this random player was there, and he was like helping me unload my cargo and deliver it and deliver it to this faction to get money. And at first I was like, oh god, he's gonna kill me. And he didn't. He was just helping me. So then he like got on the mic, and it was this like little kid. He was like 13 years old or something.
Aww.
And he was so nice. He was so polite, and we were talking, and he was just like, hey, you want to go on a quest? And I'm like, this is so random and cool. So like we went on a bunch of quests, and there was this ship, and it had this really important cargo on it. It's like I forget what it's called. I'm new to this game, so I don't know all the terminology, but it's this like super like rare cargo that's sought after and it's very important. Anyway, what happened was the ship, I guess, had like been attacked by someone or something. There's a kraken in the ocean, that could have been it, I don't know, or a shark. Anyway, this ship was like, it was like overturned, like the Titanic or whatever. It was like on its side, and this cargo was on the ship, and you can see it on the map. And so if you have that, you're like a high target, kind of like in Warzone, Chris, you know, when you're the most wanted or whatever. It's like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, we saw that and we were like, kind of want to go grab that. So, and we were expecting it to be a ship just sitting there of like actual people, you know, like waiting for us, baiting us, and then like killing us immediately. Well, anyway, it was like crashed and it was like a sunken ship. So we went down there, we got all this cargo, got all this stuff. And it took us a while to like unload because it was so much stuff. And when we got it all into the boat, we were like, all right, we got to make now this is the hard part. We got to make the trek back to the outpost to deliver all this stuff. So on our way there, there was this volcano, and the volcano erupted, of course, while we were next to it. And it was raining fireballs on the ship.
No.
And we had all this cargo, and we were like, oh my God, no. And so the ship caught on fire. and he was on fire, and I was on fire, and the fireballs crashed into the boat, so the boat started sinking, and we were like trying to like scoop up the water with the buckets and get it out, and then like repair all the holes and everything. And then he died, and I had to revive him. It was this whole elaborate thing, and we almost died, but we ended up getting out of it alive, and we delivered all the cargo, and we got a bunch of money, and it was one of the coolest multiplayer experiences I've ever had. And it was totally just random. And then what was really funny is we played for several hours. And I was like, hey, I'm going to add you so we can play again. And he was like, that sounds cool. So I sent him a friend request. And he was like, oh, what is your profile picture? What is that? And I'm like, is it like of a person? And he goes, yeah, it's a person. I'm like, oh, that's me. And he goes,
oh, goodness.
And he goes, oh, you look like that?
Oh my god, that's
amazing.
Ouch.
And I felt like, bless his heart, you know. And I'm like, yeah, that's me. I was like, I kind of look like a pirate, don't I? And he's like, yeah, you do. And it was just like, it was such a heartwarming, like, nice little experience. Anyway, Sea of Thieves is fantastic. It's very relaxing. Highly recommend. Sorry if I went a little long there, but I thought that I wanted to share.
Yeah, that's a very cute story.
Yeah. Yeah, Chris, go ahead.
A very cute story.
It reminds me of the good old days of Call of Duty Warzone, where like you were describing like these little stories.
Oh yeah.
Of like how like an engagement went or whatever.
Yeah.
But like if Sea of Thieves is like that for you, I think I might jump in as well.
Yeah, it's on Xbox Game Pass.
Xbox Game Pass.
Which Josh isn't here to remind us, so Chris, I'm gonna have you do it. What is Xbox Game Pass?
Okay. It's the best deal in gaming.
Hell yeah, it is. Christina.
And now I'm really jealous.
Yeah, it's super underrated for sure, that game. Christina, talk to us.
Successful though.
Yeah. Talk to us about Immortals Fenyx Rising, previously referred to as Gods and Monsters before, I guess, Monster Energy got involved and then they had to change the name. I don't know what was up with that. Immortals Fenyx Rising.
Yeah, that amendment was kind of hilarious because of the fact that the energy drink company got involved in it. But anywho, like Immortals Fenyx Rising is about this soldier. Like it could be any gender, like you want it to be, male or female, but it's just from the cover of the game, it just happens to be that the protagonist is female by default.
Yeah.
And I like really appreciated that.
Sure.
because there aren't like too many like female protagonists in gaming aside from Aloy in Horizon Zero Dawn. And you know, and yes, I am aware that Immortals Fenyx Rising has its comparisons with The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. It's like any any game that comes out of that looks open world and has
like a grass,
you know, all those features, it immediately gets compared to Breath of the Wild.
I hate that mentality. I really do. And I actually wrote about
even
that.
Even Genshin Impact gets compared to Breath of the Wild. Just so I'm not like veering off topic any further, like Immortals Fenyx Rising is about this soldier who has to like Prometheus is telling the story to Zeus, like Typhon is free from the underworld, from the chains of the underworld, and he's like going off like kidnapping all the gods, and Prometheus is like imprisoned up the tallest mountain like in all of Greece. Like he tells a story to Zeus, like about Fenyx who goes off to rescue all the gods in Greek mythology, Aphrodite, Athena.
That's a lot of work. That sounds hard.
Yeah, that is a mighty tall order.
Right.
Mighty tall order for one person, but Fenyx gets a little bit of help from Hermes just to get all the items that she needs.
Hermes is the speed guy, right? He's fast.
Yes, and he's also the messenger god, but like here he's mostly the prankster.
Yeah. This game's really it's really funny too. Like
yeah, and I love the dialogue between like Prometheus and Zeus. Like Prometheus is like the wise guy, mm-hmm. whereas Zeus is like the drunk college student, like really bored with the story.
Yeah,
like he wanted to like add more zest to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're playing this on PS5, right?
Yes, I was originally playing it on the PlayStation 4, but until I got the PS5 upgraded to the PS5 version, when I really wanted to like pick up where I left off with Aphrodite on the PS4 version, and once I started playing the PS5 version on the pretense that the PS5 might get messed up if I play the PS4 version, and I just got the console from Walmart like 2 weeks after ordering it, and I was lucky that I got it like when it dropped.
Right. So your saves don't carry over? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, if it's like PS4 versions, the saves do carry over. The saves like carry over until like they're upgraded to the PS5 right. version. Then I have to start from square
yeah,
one.
So yeah.
I think with Watch Dogs Legion and other Ubisoft titles, you can upload the save data to the cloud and then download it on the PS5 version. I think that's how it works, I think that's how it works. So I don't know. I've been able to carry on my save file, I believe, before. So
well, it's a game by game basis, I think.
Maybe.
And yeah, like for example, Yakuza Like a Dragon, the PS5 version just came out. That doesn't support
that's rough.
PS4 anyway, not to steer it too far away from that, but anyway, not all games have save transfers from generation to generation. So Christina, with Immortals, are you digging it, or is it something that you're going to keep playing?
Yeah, that is definitely a game that I'm going to keep playing because I just love the idea that it just revolves around Greek mythology,
mm-hmm.
and It just, like, takes me back to high school English.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, this game's cool. It's really hard to talk about without comparing it to Breath of the Wild because it does, like, borrow so much from that game. Not just, it's an open world game with a grassy field. Like, there are, like, little dungeons you go to.
The flight,
yeah, how you can, like, glide around. How you can climb anything. I don't know, man. If you've played Breath of the Wild and you wanted something, you want more of that, you've already finished Breath of the Wild, I think Immortals is a great option. And in some cases, I think it does a lot better because it's, I think it's funnier. Obviously, Zelda's never really been known for, like, being hysterical.
Humorous.
I mean, it's got some funny moments, but, like, this game, Immortals, is, like, intentionally written to be funny, I think, and so that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Definitely.
I think the Greek mythology is really interesting as well. So, and you're playing on PS5. Yeah. So, in terms of the performance on PS5, I'm sure it runs and plays beautifully, right?
Yes. So much smoother than the PS4. Like, when I played it on the PS4, the frame rate was, like, a little low.
Right.
But on the PS5, oh my god, it's a breath of fresh air.
Is it a breath, like, of the wild of fresh air?
I guess you could say that.
I played it on Switch, so my experience with it is not the best. But it's still a great game, and I could tell that even with the performance problems. Chris,
yeah.
Why don't we move on to what you've been playing?
Yeah, do you want the second game to be the last one?
Yeah.
Because we're running a bit
long. Yeah, why don't we cut it there, Christina, unless you wanted to also touch on Concrete Genie, and then that can pretty much wrap us up after Chris here. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, that's
okay,
fine.
Okay, cool. So, Chris, why don't you go, and then after you, Christina can go, and then we'll call it there. Is that
okay?
Cool. All right.
I've been playing Bravery Network Online. It's an indie game we got a review code for. I'm early in right now. It is an early access, just to let everyone know. But yes, I am early in the game, and I just wanted to give it coverage because it's an indie title and it's been a few weeks, so I apologize for that. But Persona 5 Strikers was quite the time commitment.
Sure.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, this game is similar to Pokemon in a way. So you're taking part in 5v5 battles, and you have this team of fighters to help you. And they all have their own different skills, they all have their own different mechanics. And it seems like a really fun time. Like, I've only been through the tutorial section. That's how early I'm in right now. So I can only give baseline kind of impressions. But you can tell it's an early access title in some ways because some of the animations aren't final. Like, I feel like one of the main characters in the game is stuck in, like, this battle animation throughout the entire game, like during cutscenes, battles, it's the same. So I hope they fix that. I hope they include more kind of like animations and styles to the game. I do like the overall kind of feeling of it though, like the music, the graphic novel kind of like look to it. Mm. It's really cool. The writing's actually quite funny too. Like, comedic. There's a few nice jokes there, and, like, I can tell, like, they've built a base of really cool characters. I just need to play more in terms of the gameplay, but I just wanted to give it a quick shout-out just because it's an indie game, it's early access, and they probably need the feedback. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, let's finish up with Christina touching on Concrete Genie, and then we'll wrap it up there. Christina, whenever you're ready.
All right. So, Concrete Genie, it just, like, really touches upon my, like, back in high school, early college, as an artist, like, doodling in my sketchbook. But it just, Concrete Genie is about a kid named Ash who like likes to hang out at this pier that for some reason has gone to hell, and his parents like don't want him to go there anymore. He used to hang out there when he was a kid, but no longer, and now he is tasked with bringing it back to life. And the way this happens is like a group of bullies, they like take away his sketchbook, rip it apart, and all the pages like fly away like towards a mansion, and he has to like get them back. And this is where he draws the power of the paintbrush to bring these genies to life, and they have to assist him in bringing the color back to that pier and get rid of all the purple stuff in the process. And that's basically the plot point I can give. And I only played the first part of the game. I started last week.
Cool.
Yeah.
And so, and tell us about the like main mechanic. 'Cause I know, it's like, it uses the motion controls, like with
yes, it uses motion controls with the DualSense controller. You just like wave the controller, like sway it like side to side and up and down when you're gonna like design the genie to give it horns, give it color, and when you draw the walls, like.